Blog Talk Radio.
Here at ACO Radio, American Communications Online, or any affiliated stations or websites are not responsible for what guests, hosts, or call-ins may say. All programming is intended for informational and entertainment purposes only.
We know now that in the early years of the 20th century, this world was being watched closely by intelligences greater than man, yet as mortal as his own. We know now that if human beings busied themselves about their various concerns, they were scrutinized and studied, perhaps almost as narrowly as a man with a microscope might scrutinize the transient creatures that swarm and multiply in a drop of water. With infinite complacence, people went to and fro over the earth about their little affairs, serene in the assurance of their dominion over this small, spinning fragment of solar driftwood, which by chance or design, man has inherited out of the dark mystery of time and space. Yet across an immense ethereal gulf, minds that are to our minds as ours are to the beasts in the jungle, intellect, vast, cool, and unsympathetic, regarded this earth with envious eyes and slowly and surely drew their plans against us. In the 39th year of the 20th century came the great disillusionment. Near the end of October, business was better. The war scare was over. More men were back at work. Sales were picking up. On this particular evening, October 30th, the Crosley Service estimated that 32 million people were listening in on radio.
24 hours, not much change in temperature. A slight atmospheric disturbance of undetermined origin is reported over Nova Scotia, causing a low pressure area to move down rather rapidly over the northeastern states, bringing a forecast of rain accompanied by winds of light gale force. Maximum temperature 66, minimum 48. This weather report comes to you from the Government Weather Bureau. We take you now to the Meridian Room in the Hotel Park Plaza in downtown New York, where you will be entertained by the music of Raymond Rossello and his orchestra. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Meridian Room in the Park Plaza Hotel of New York City, we bring you the music of Raymond Rossello and his orchestra. The touch of the Spanish, Raymond Rossello leads off with La Capacita. Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt our program of dance music to bring you a special bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News. At 20 minutes before 8 Central Time, Professor Farrell of the Mount Jennings Observatory, Chicago, Illinois, reports observing several explosions of incandescent gas occurring at regular intervals on the planet Mars. The spectroscope indicates the gas to be hydrogen and moving toward the Earth with enormous velocity. Professor Pearson of the observatory at Princeton confirms Farrell's observations and describes the phenomenon as, quote, like a jet of blue flame shot from a gun, unquote. We now return you to the music of Raymond Rossello, playing for you in the Meridian Room of the Park Plaza Hotel, situated in downtown New York. Popular starter, Raymond Rossello and his orchestra. and gentlemen, following on the news given in our bulletin a moment ago, the Government Meteorological Bureau has requested the large observatories of the country to keep an astronomical watch on any further disturbances occurring on the planet Mars. Due to the unusual nature of this occurrence, we have arranged an interview with a noted astronomer, Professor Pearson, who will give us his views on this event. In a few moments, we will take you to the Princeton Observatory at Princeton, New Jersey. We return you until then to the music of Ramon Rocchello and his orchestra. We are ready now to take you to the Princeton Observatory at Princeton, where Carl Phillips, our commentator, will interview Professor Richard Pearson, famous. We take you now to Princeton, New Jersey.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Carl Phillips speaking to you from the Observatory of Princeton. I'm standing in a large semicircular room, pitch black except for an oblong ribbon of paper. Through this opening, I can see a sprinkling of stars that cast a kind of frosty glow over the intricate mechanism of new telescope. Ticking sounds you hear and the vibration of the clockwork. Professor Pearson stands directly above me on a small platform, peering through this giant lens. I'll ask you to be patient, ladies and gentlemen, during any delay that may arise during our interview. Besides the ceaseless watch of the heavens, Professor Pearson may be interrupted by telephone or other communication. During this period, he is in constant touch with the astronomical centers of the world. Professor, may I begin our questions?
At any time, sir.
Professor, would you please tell our radio audience exactly what you see as you observe the planet Mars through your telescope?
Nothing unusual at the moment, Mr. Cook. A red disk swimming in a blue sea. Transverse stripes across the disk. Quite distinct now because Mars happens to be at the point nearest the Earth in opposition, as we call it.
In your opinion, what do these transverse stripes signify, Professor?
Not canals, I can assure you, Mr. Cook.
Hey.
Although that's the popular conjecture of those who imagine Mars to be inhabited. From a scientific viewpoint, the stripes are merely the result of atmospheric conditions peculiar to the planet.
Then you're quite convinced, as a scientist, that living intelligence as we know it does not exist on Mars?
I'd say the chances against it are 1,000 to 1.
And yet, how do you account for these gas eruptions occurring on the surface of the planet at regular intervals?
First, I cannot account for it.
Oh, by the way, sir, for the benefit of our listeners, how far is Mars from the Earth?
Approximately 40 million miles.
Well, that seems a safe enough distance. Just a moment, ladies and gentlemen. Someone has just handed Professor Pearson a message. While he reads it, let me remind you that we are speaking to you from the Observatory in Princeton, New Jersey, where we are interviewing the world-famous astronomer, Professor Pearson. One moment, please. Professor Pearson has passed me a message which he has just received. Professor, may I read the message to the listening audience?
Certainly.
Ladies and gentlemen, I salute you a wire addressed to Professor Pearson from Dr. Gray of the Natural History Museum, New York. Quote, 9:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Seismograph registered shock of almost earthquake intensity occurring within a radius of 20 miles of Princeton. Please investigate. Signed, Roy Gray, Chief of Astronomical Division. Unquote. Professor Pearson, could this occurrence possibly have something to do with the disturbances observed on the planet Mars?
Hardly, Mr. Cook. This is probably a meteorite of unusual size, and its arrival at this particular time is merely a coincidence. However, we shall conduct a search as soon as daylight permits.
Thank you, Professor. Ladies and gentlemen, for the past 10 minutes, we've been speaking to you from the Observatory of Princeton, bringing you a special interview with Professor Pearson, noted astronomer. This is Carl Phillips speaking. We are returning you now to our New York studio.
Ladies and gentlemen, here is the latest bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News, Toronto, Canada. Professor Morris of Macmillan University reports observing a total of 3 explosions on the planet Mars between the hours of 7:45 p.m. and 9:20 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This confirms earlier reports received from American observatories. Now, nearer home, comes a special bulletin from Trenton, New Jersey. It is reported that at 8:50 p.m., a huge flaming object, believed to be a meteorite, fell on a farm in the neighborhood of Grover's Mill, New Jersey, 22 miles from Trenton. The flash in the sky was visible within a radius of several hundred miles, and the noise of the impact was heard as far north as Elizabeth. We have dispatched a special mobile unit to the scene, and we'll have our commentator, Carl Phillips, give you a word picture of the scene as soon as he can reach there from Princeton. In the meantime, we take you to the Hotel Martinet in Brooklyn, where Bobby Millen and his orchestra are offering a program of dance music. We take you now to Grover's Mill, New Jersey.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Carl Phillips again out of the Wilmot Farm, Grover's Mill, New Jersey. Such a distance on the subway to 11 miles in 15 and 10 minutes. Well, I hardly know where to begin. Thank you, your word picture of the same scene before my eyes, but nothing out of the modern Arabian night. Well, I just got here. I haven't had a chance to look around yet. That's the thing directly in front of me. Half buried in a vast pit. Must have struck with terrific force. The ground is covered with splinters of a tree. It must have struck on its way down. But I can see that the object itself doesn't look very much like a meteor. At least not the meteors I've seen. It looks more like a huge cylinder. Has a diameter of, what would you say, Professor Pearson? What would you say, what's the diameter of this?
About 30 yards.
About 30 yards. The metal on the sheet is, well, I've never seen anything like it. The color is sort of yellowish-white. The curious spectators now are pressing close to the object in spite of the efforts of the police to keep them back. Getting in front of my line of sight. Would you mind standing one side, please, while I'm pushing the crowd back? Here's Mr. Wilmot, owner of the pond here. He may have some interesting facts to add. Mr. Wilmot, would you please tell the radio audience as much as you remember of this rather unusual visitor that stopped in your backyard? Step closer, please. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mr. Wilmot.
I was listening to the radio.
Louder, please.
Pardon? Louder,
please.
Yes. I was listening to the radio. I was talking about Mars, so I was half chosen.
Yes, Mr. Willman. And then what happened?
Well, as I was saying, I was listening to the radio, kind of halfway.
Yes, Mr. Willman. And then you saw something.
Well, not first off. I heard something.
And what did you hear?
A hissing sound like this. It's kind of like a 4th of July rocket.
Yes, then what?
I turned my head out the window and would have sworn I was asleep and dreaming.
Yes.
I seen a kind of greenish streak and then jingle. Something smacked the ground, knocked me clear out of my chair.
Well, were you frightened, Mr. Willis?
Well, I ain't quite sure. I reckon I was kind of riled.
Well, thank you, Mr. Willis. Thank you very much.
That's plenty.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've just heard Mr. Willis, owner of the farm, where this thing has fallen. I wish I'd convey the atmosphere, the background of this fantastic scene. Hundreds of cars are parked in a field in back with the police that tied a rope off the roadway leading into the farm, but it's no use. They're breaking right through. Cars' headlights throw an enormous spotlight on the pit where the objects have buried. Some of the more daring stories now are one man wants to touch the thing, he's having an argument with the policeman. Now, the policeman wins. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's something I haven't mentioned in all this excitement, but it's becoming more distinct. Perhaps you've caught it already on your radio. Listen, please. Do you hear it? The curious humming sound that seems to come from inside the object. I'll move the microphone nearer. Here. Now, we're not more than 25 feet away. Can you hear it now? Professor Pearson.
Yes,
Can you tell us the meaning of that scraping noise inside the thing?
Possibly the unequal cooling of the surface.
I say, do you still think it's a meteor, Professor?
What's it say? The metal casing is definitely extraterrestrial. Not found on this Earth. Friction with the Earth's atmosphere usually tears holes in a meteorite. This thing is smooth. You can see a blender.
Something's happening. Ladies and gentlemen, it's terrific. This end of the thing is beginning to break off. The thing is like a screw, and the thing must be hollow. Another one, and another one, and another one. They look like tentacles to me. I can see the same body now. It's large, and large as a bear. This one's like wet leather, but hey, ladies and gentlemen, it's indescribable. I can hardly force myself to keep looking at it. It's so awful. Its eyes are black, and they gleam like a surf in the mouth, and a kind of V-shape with saliva dripping from its windless lips. It seems to, oh, quivers, pulsate, and monster, or whatever it is, can hardly move. It seems weighed down by, possibly gravity or something. The thing's right up on its side. It's quite easy. Of course, it's not very pretty, pretty, so not. Can't find words. Well, I'll pull his microphone with me if I talk. I'll have to stop the description so I can take a new position. Hold on, will you please? I'll be right back in a minute.
We are bringing you an eyewitness account of what's happening on the Wilmot Farm, Groversville, New Jersey. We now return you to Carl Phillips at Grover's Mill.
Ladies and gentlemen, my aunt. Ladies and gentlemen, here I am, back with Stonewall that joins us at Wilmot Garden. From here, I get a suite for the whole thing. I have to do every detail as long as I can talk and as long as I can see. More state police will arrive and drawing up a cordon in front of the pit. About 30 of them. No need to push the car back now. They're willing to keep their distance to Captain. Conferring with someone, and quite see who. Oh, yes, I believe it's Professor Pearson. Yes, it is. Now they've parted, and the professor moves around one side, studying the object while the captain and two policemen advance with something in their hands. I think now it's the white handkerchief tied to a pole. Flag of truth. Those creatures know what that means, what anything means. Wait a minute, something happening. Hunk ship is rising out of the pit. They make out a small beam of light against the mirror. What's that? There's a jet of flame sprinkles in the mirror that looks quite the advancing men. Struck them head on. Oh, Lord, they're turning the flames. Ah! The dead snakes, all over the field, spreading everywhere. Coming this way now, about 20 yards to my left.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to circumstances beyond our control, we are unable to continue the broadcast from Grover's Mill. Evidently, there's some difficulty with our field transmission. However, we return to that point at the earliest opportunity. In the meantime, we have a late bulletin from San Diego, California. Professor Indelkoffer, speaking chair of the California Astronomical Society, expressed the opinion that the explosions on Mars are undoubtedly nothing more than severe volcanic disturbances on the surface of the planet. We continue now with our piano interlude. Ladies and gentlemen, I've just been handed a message that came in from Grover's Mill by telephone. But one moment, please. At least 40 people, including 6 state troopers, lie dead in a field east of the village of Grover's Mill, their bodies burned and distorted beyond all possible recognition. The next voice you hear will be that of Brigadier General Montgomery Smith, commander of the state militia at Trenton, New Jersey.
I have been requested by the governor of New Jersey to place the counties of Mercer and Middlesex as far west as Princeton and east to Jamesburg under martial law. No one will be permitted to enter this area except by special pass issued by state or military authority. 4 companies of state militia are proceeding from Trenton to Grover's Mill and will aid in the evacuation of homes within the range of military operations. Thank you.
You have just been listening to General Montgomery Smith, commanding the state militia at Trenton. In the meantime, further details of the catastrophe at Grover's Mill are coming in. The strange creatures, after unleashing their deadly assault, crawled back in their pit and made no attempt to prevent the efforts of the firemen to recover the bodies and extinguish the fire. The combined fire departments of Mercer County are fighting the flames which menace the entire countryside. We have been unable to establish any contact with our mobile unit at Grover's Mill, but we hope to be able to return you there at the earliest possible moment. In the meantime, we take you to... Just one moment, please. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been informed communication with an eyewitness of the tragedy. Professor Pearson has been located at a farmhouse near Grover's Mill, where he has established an emergency observation post. As a scientist, he will give you his explanation of the calamity. The next voice you hear will be that of Professor Pearson, brought to you by direct wire. Professor Pearson.
Of the creatures in the rocket cylinder at Grover's Mill, I can give you no authoritative information either as to their nature, their origin, or their purposes here on Earth. Of their destructive instrument, I might venture some conjectural explanation. I shall refer to the mysterious weapon as a heat ray. All too evident that these creatures have scientific knowledge far in advance of our own. It's my guess that in some way they are able to generate an intense heat in a chamber practically absolute non-conductivity. This intense heat they project in a parallel beam against any object they choose by means of a polished parabolic mirror of unknown composition. Much as the mirror of a lighthouse projects a beam of light. That is my conjecture of the origin of the heat ray.
Thank you, Professor Pearson. Ladies and gentlemen, here is a bulletin from Trenton. It is a brief statement informing us that the charred body of Carl Phillips has been identified in the Trenton Hospital. Now, here's another bulletin from Washington, D.C. The office of the director of the National Red Cross reports 10 units of Red Cross emergency workers have been assigned to the headquarters of the state militia, stationed outside of Grover's Mill, New Jersey. Here's a bulletin from State Police, Princeton Junction. The fires at Grover's Mill and vicinity are now under control. Scouts report all quiet in the pit, and there is no sign of life appearing from the mouth of the cylinder. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have a special statement from Mr. Harry McDonald, Vice President in charge of operations.
We have received a request from the state militia of Trenton to place at their disposal our entire broadcasting facility. In view of the gravity of the situation, and believing that radio had the responsibility to serve in the public interest at all times, we are turning over our facilities to the state militia of Trenton.
We take you now to the field headquarters of the state militia near Grover's Mill, New Jersey.
This is Captain Lansing of the Signal Corps, attached to the state militia, now engaged in military operations in the vicinity of Grover's Mill. Situation arising from the reported presence of certain individuals of unidentified nature is now under complete control. The cylindrical object lies in a pit directly below our position, surrounded on all sides by 8 battalions of infantry. Without heavy field pieces, but adequately armed with rifles and machine guns, the cause ever existed is now entirely unjustified. Things, whatever they are, do not even venture to poke their heads above the pit. I can see their hiding place plainly in the glare of the searchlight here. With all their reported resources, these creatures can scarcely stand up against heavy machine gun fire. Anyway, it's an interesting outing for the troops. I can make out their khaki uniforms crossing back and forth in front of the lights. Looks almost like a real war. There appears to be some slight smoke in the woods bordering the Millstone River, probably fire started by campers. Well, we ought to see some action soon. One of the companies is deploying on the left flank. A quick thrust and it'll all be over. Now, wait a minute, I see something on top of the cylinder. Oh, it's nothing but a shadow. Now the troops are on the edge of the Wilmot Farm. 7,000 armed men closing in on an old metal tube. A sub, rather. Well, wait, that wasn't a shadow. It's something moving. Solid metal, kind of a shield-like affair rising up out of the cylinder, soaring higher and higher. But it's standing on legs, actually rearing up. The searchlight's on it. Hold on.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have a grave announcement to make. Incredible as it may seem, both the observations of science and the evidence of our eyes, we have the skeptical assumption that those strange beings who landed in the Jersey farmlands tonight are the vanguard of an invading army from the planet Mars. The battle which took place tonight at Grover's Mill has ended in one of the most startling defeats ever suffered by an army in modern times. 7,000 men armed with rifles and machine guns pitted against a single fighting machine of the invaders from Mars. 120 known survivors. The rest flew over the battle area from Grover's Mill to Plainsboro, crushed and trampled to death under the metal feet of the monster, or burned to cinders by its heat rays. The monster is now in control of the middle section of New Jersey and has effectively cut the state to its center. Communication lines are down from Pennsylvania to the Atlantic Ocean. Railroad tracks are torn and service from New York to Philadelphia discontinued, except routing some of the trains through Allerton and Phoenixville. Highways to the north, south, and west are clogged with frantic human traffic. Police and army reserves are unable to control the mad flight. By morning, the fugitives will have swarmed Philadelphia, Camden, and Trenton. It is estimated to twice their normal population. Will prevail throughout New Jersey and eastern Pennsylvania. At this time, we take you to Washington for a special broadcast on the national emergency. The Secretary of the Interior.
Citizens of the nation, I shall not try to conceal the gravity of the situation that confronts the country, nor the concern of your government in protecting the lives and property of its people. However, I wish to impress upon you, private citizens and public officials, all of you, the urgent need of calm and resourceful action. Fortunately, this formidable enemy is still confined to a comparatively small area, and we may place our faith in the military forces to keep them there. In the meantime, placing our faith in God, we must continue the performance of our duties, each and every one of us, so that we may construct this nation united, courageous, and consecrated to the preservation of human supremacy on this earth. I thank you.
You have just heard the Secretary of the Interior speaking from Washington. Bulletins too numerous to read are piling up in the studio here. We're informed that the central portion of New Jersey is blacked out from radio communication due to the effect of the heat ray upon power lines and electrical equipment. Here's a special bulletin in New York. Cables have been received from English, French, and German scientific bodies offering assistance. Astronomers report continuous gas outbursts at regular intervals on the planet Mars. The majority voiced the opinion that the enemy will be reinforced by additional rocket machines. There have been several attempts made to locate Professor Pearson at Princeton, who was observed marching at close range. It is feared he was lost in the recent battle. Langham Field, Virginia. Scouting planes report three monster machines visible above treetops, moving north toward Somerville with population fleeing ahead of them. The heat ray is not in use, although advancing at express train speed, invaders pick their way carefully. Whether they stop to uproot power lines, bridges, and railroad tracks, their apparent objective is to crush resistance, paralyze communication, and disorganize human society. Here is a bulletin from Baston Ridge, New Jersey. Coon hunters have stumbled on a second cylinder similar to the first, embedded in the Great Swamp 20 miles south of Marstown. Army field keepers are proceeding from Newark to blow up the second invading unit before the cylinder can be opened from the fighting machine rig. They're taking up a position in the foothills of Washington Mountain. Another bulletin from Langham Field, Virginia. Scouting planes report enemy machines now three in number, increasing speed northward, kicking over houses and trees in their evident haste to form a conjunction with their allies south of Marstown. Machines also sighted by telephone operator east of Middlesex within 10 miles of Plainfield. Here's a bulletin from Winston Field, Long Island. A fleet of army bombers carrying heavy explosives flying north in pursuit of enemy. Scouting planes act as guides. They keep the speeding enemy in sight. Just a moment, please, ladies and gentlemen.
We've run special wires to the artillery line in adjacent villages to give you direct reports from the zone of the advancing enemy. First, we take you to the battery of the 22nd Field Artillery, located in the Washington Mountains.
Range 32 meters.
32 meters.
Section 39 degrees.
39 degrees.
Fire!
140 yards to the right, sir.
Hit range 31 meters.
31 meters.
Section 37 degrees.
37 degrees.
Fire! Hit that.
That's a cipher of one of them.
Oh. The others are trying to repair.
Get the range.
It's 50, 30 meters.
30 meters.
Protection 27 degrees.
27 degrees.
Fire.
Can't see the tail end, sir.
Letting off a smoke.
What is it?
Let's smoke, sir.
Moving this way.
Moving fast, huh?
Put on gas mask.
Ready to fire.
This is 24 meters.
24 meters.
Protection 24 degrees.
24 degrees.
Fire.
There can't be, sir.
Smoke coming here.
Get the range.
23 meters.
23 meters.
Army bombing plane, B-843 off Mayo, New Jersey. Lieutenant Bolt commanding 8 bombers, reporting to Commander Fairbanks, Langham Field. This is Bolt reporting to Commander Fairbanks, Langham Field. Enemy tripod machines now in sight. Reinforced by 3 machines from the Morristown cylinder, 6 altogether. 1 machine partially crippled. Believed hit by shell from army gun in Wachung Mountain. Guns now appear silent. A heavy black fog hanging close to the earth with extreme density, nature unknown. No sign of heat ray. Enemy now turns east, crossing Passaic River into the Jersey marshes. Another straddles the Pulaski Skyway. Evident objective is New York City. They're pushing down a high-tension power station. Machines are close together now. We're ready to attack. Plane circling, ready to strike. A 1,000 yards and we'll be over the first.
Crowds like New Year's Eve in city. Wait a minute, the
The enemy is now inside above the palisade. Five straight from team. First one is crossing the river. I can see it from here, waiting to hunt him like a man, waiting to approach. A bullet in his hand at me. Martian cylinders are falling all over the country. One outside of Buffalo, one in Chicago. They blew us. Seem to be fine and safe. Now the first machine reaches the shore. And watching, looking over the city. Field Cowley's head is even with his skyscrapers. He waits for the others. They rise like a line of new towers on the city's west side. This is the end now. Smoke comes out, black smoke sifting over the city. People in the streets here now. They're running toward the East River, thousands of them, dropping in like rats. Now the smoke's spreading faster. It's Times Square. People are trying to run away from it, but it's no use. They're falling like flies. Now the smoke crossing 6th Avenue. 5th Avenue. 100 yards away.
TJ Morrissey T Radio.
You are listening to a CBS presentation of Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater on the Air in an original dramatization of The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells. The performance will continue after a brief intermission. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System. The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells, starring Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater on the Air.
As I set down these notes on paper, I'm obsessed by the thought that I may be the last living man on Earth. I've been hiding in this empty house near Grover's Mill, a small island of daylight cut off by the black smoke from the rest of the world. All that happened before the arrival of these monstrous creatures in the world now seems part of another life. A life that has no continuity with the present. Furtive existence of the lonely derelict who pencils these words on the back of some astronomical note bearing the signature of Richard Pearson. Look down at my blackened hand, and I try to connect them with a professor who lived at Princeton and who, on the night of October 20th, glimpsed through his telescope an orange splash of light on a distant planet. My wife, my colleagues, my students, my books, my observatory, my world, where are they? Did they ever exist? Am I Richard Pearson? What day is it? Do days exist without calendars? Does time pass when there are no human hands left to wind the clocks? Writing down my daily life, I tell myself I shall preserve human history between the dark covers of this little book that was meant to record the movements of the stars. to write and to live, and to live on the heat. Find moldy bread in the kitchen and an orange not too spoiled to swallow. Keep watch at the window. Time to time I catch sight of a smoke still holds the house in its black coil, but length there's a hissing sound, and suddenly I see a Martian mounted on his machine spraying the air with a jet of steam as it dissipates the smoke. I watch in the corner as his huge metal legs nearly brush against the house. Exhausted by terror, I fall asleep. Morning. Morning. Sun streams in the window. Black cloud of gas is lifted, and the scorched meadows to the north look as though a black snowstorm has passed over them. I adventure from the house. I make my way to a road on traffic. Then a wrecked car, baggage overturned, with blackened skeletons. Push on north. For some reason, I feel safer trailing these monsters and running away from them. And I keep a careful watch. I've seen the Martians feed. Should one of their machines appear over the top of trees, I'm ready to fling myself flat on the earth. Come to a chestnut tree. October. Chestnut to right. Fill my pockets. Let's keep alive. 2 days I wander in a vague northerly direction through a desolate world. Finally, I notice a living creature. A small red squirrel in a beech tree. I stare at him and wonder. He stares back at me. I believe at that moment the animal and I shared the same emotion. The joy of finding another living being. Push on north. I find dead cows in a brackish field and beyond the charred ruins of a dairy, a silo made standing guard over the wasteland like a lighthouse. Deserted by the sea. Stride the silo towards the weathercock, the arrow points north. Oh. Next day, I come to a city. City, strangely dwarfed and leveled off as if a giant had sliced off its highest towers with a capricious sweep of its end. Reached the outskirts, I found Newark, undemolished but humbled by some whim of the advancing Martians. Presently, with an odd feeling of being watched, I caught sight of something crouching in a doorway. I made a step towards it. Rose up and became a man. A man armed with a large knife.
Stop. Where did it come from?
Well, I come from... many places. A long time ago, from Princeton.
Princeton, huh? That's near Grover's Mill.
Yes.
Grover's Mill. There's no food here. This is my country. All this end of town down the river. There's only food for one. Which way are you going?
I don't know. I'm looking for people.
And what was that? You hear something different?
No. Only a bird. A live bird.
You get to know that birds have shadows these days. Hey, we're in the open here. Let's crawl in this doorway here and talk.
Have you seen any Martians?
No. They're going over to New York. Night, the sky is alive with the lights. This is the people who are still living. By daylight, can't see them. 5 days ago, a couple of them carried something big across the flats from the airport. I think they're learning how to fly.
Fly?
Yeah, fly.
Well, it's all over with humanity. Stranger, it's still you and I. Two of us left.
Yeah. They got themselves in solid. They wrecked the greatest country in the world. Those green stars, they're probably falling somewhere every night. They've only lost one machine. There isn't anything to do. We're done. We're wrecked.
Where were you? You're in a uniform.
Yeah, what's left of it? I was in the militia. National Guard. That's good. There wasn't any war. Any more than there's war between man and ant.
Yes, but we're eatable ants. I found that out.
What do they do to it?
I set it all up. Right now, we're caught as we're wanted. The Martian only has to go a few miles to get a crowd on the run. But they won't keep on doing that. They'll begin catching us systematically, keeping the best and storing us in cages and things. They haven't begun on us yet.
Begun?
Not begun. All that's happened so far is because we don't have sense enough to keep quiet. Bothering them with guns and such stuff and losing our heads and rushing off in crowds. Instead of our rushing around blind, we got to fix ourselves up according to the way things are now. Cities, nations, civilization, progress.
Yes, but if that's so, what is there to live for?
Well, there won't be any more concerts for me. There's no restaurant. If it's amusement you're after, I guess the game's up.
What is there left?
Life, that's what. I want to live. Yeah, and so do you. We're not going to be exterminated. And I don't mean to be caught either. Tamed and fattened and bred like an ox.
What are you going to do?
I'm going on. Right under this. I got a plan. We men as men, we're finished. We don't know enough. We got to learn plenty before we get a chance. We got to live and keep free while we learn, see? I've thought it all out, see?
What's with the rest?
Well, it isn't all of us that are made for wild beasts. That's what it got to be. That's what it got to be. That's why I watched you. All those little office workers that used to live in these houses, they'd be no good. They haven't any stuff in them. They used to run off to work. I've seen hundreds of them running to catch their commuters train in the morning, afraid they'd get canned if they didn't. Running back at night, afraid they wouldn't be in time for dinner. And on Sundays, worried about the hereafter. The Martians, there'll be a godsend for those. Nice roomy cages, good food, careful breeding, no worries. Yeah, after a week or so of chasing around the field on empty stomachs, they'll come and be glad to be caught.
You thought it all out, haven't you?
Yeah, you bet I have. That isn't all. These Martians are going to make pets of them. Train them to do tricks. Who knows, get sentimental over the pet boy who grew up and had to be killed. Yeah, and some maybe, they're trained to hunt us. Yes, they will. There's men who do it flat. One of them never suggested me, but...
In the meantime, you and I and others like it, where are we to live when the Martians own the Earth?
I got it all figured out. To live underground. I've been thinking about the sewers. Under New York, there are miles and miles of them. Underground storeroom, railway tunnels, subways. You begin to see that. We got a bunch of strong men together. No weakness. That rubbish, out.
As you meant me to go.
All right. Give you a chance, didn't I?
Won't quarrel about that. Go on.
Well, we got to make safe places for us to stay in, see? Get all the books we can. Science books. That's where men like you come in, see? We raid the museums. We'll even spy on the Martians. May not be so much we have to learn before. Just imagine this. Four or five of their own fighting machines suddenly start off. Heat rays right and left. Not a Martian in them. Not a Martian in them, see? But men. Men who've learned the way how. Maybe even in our time. See? Imagine having one of them lovely things with a heat ray wide and free. We turn it on Martians. We turn it on men. We bring everybody down on their knees.
That's your plan.
You, Mark, lead on the world.
I see.
Hey, what's the matter? Where are you going?
Not to your world. Bye, stranger. Well, after parting with the artilleryman, I came at last to the Holland Tunnel, entered that silent tube. Anxious to know the state of the great city on the other side of the Hudson. Cautiously, I came out of the tunnel and made my way up Canal Street. Reached 14th Street, and there again were black powder and several bodies and an evil, ominous smell from the gratings of the cellars of some of the houses. I wandered up through the 30s and 40s. Stood alone on Times Square. Caught sight of a lean dog running down 7th Avenue with a piece of dark brown meat in its jaws. Pack of starving mongrels in the made a wide circle around me as though he feared I might prove a fresh competitor. Walked up Broadway in the direction of that strange powder, that silent shop windows, displaying their mute wares to empty sidewalks. Past the Capitol Theater, silent, dark. Past the shooting gallery where a row of empty guns faced an arrested line of wooden ducks. Near Columbus Circle, I noticed models of 1939 motor cars in the showrooms facing empty streets. Over the top of the General Motors building, I watched a flock of black birds circling in the sky. I hurried on. Suddenly, I caught sight of the hood of a Martian machine, standing somewhere in Central Park, gleaming in the late afternoon sun. And same idea. I rushed recklessly across Columbus Circle and into the park. I climbed a small hill above the pond at 60th Street, and from there I could see, standing in a silent row along the mall, 19 of those great metal titans, their cowls empty, their steel arms hanging listlessly by their sides. I looked in vain for the monsters that inhabit those machines. Suddenly my eyes were attracted to the immense flock of black birds that hovered directly below me. They circled to the ground. And there before my eyes, dark and silent, lay the Martians with the hungry birds pecking and tearing brown shreds of flesh from their dead bodies. Later, when their bodies were examined in laboratories, it was found that they were killed by the putrefactive and diseased bacteria against which their systems were unprepared. Slain, after all, man's defenses had failed. The humblest thing that God, his wisdom, put upon this earth. Before the cylinder fell, there was a general persuasion that through all the deep of space, no life existed beyond the petty surface of our minute sphere. Now we see further, dim and wonderful is the vision I've conjured up in my mind of life spreading slowly from this little seedbed of the solar system throughout the inanimate vastness of the sidereal space. A remote dream, maybe. Maybe that the destruction of the Martians is only a reprieve for them and not to us. If the future ordained for us. Strange it now seems to sit in my peaceful study, writing down this last chapter of the record, begun at the deserted farm of Grover's Mill. Strange to watch children playing in the streets. Strange to see young people strolling on the green where the new spring grass heals the last black scars of the blue dirt. Strange to watch the sightseers enter the museum where the dissembled parts of a Martian machine are kept on public view. Strange when I recall the time when I first saw it. Bright and clean cut, hard and silent under the dawn of that last great day. This is Orson Welles, ladies and gentlemen, out of character, to assure you that the War of the Worlds has no further significance than as the holiday offering it was intended to be. The Mercury Theater's own radio version of dressing up in a sheet and jumping out of a bush and saying boo. Starting now, we couldn't soak all your windows and steal all your garden gates by tomorrow night, so we did the best next thing. We annihilated the world before your very ears and utterly destroyed the CBS. You will be relieved, I hope, to learn that we didn't mean it and that both institutions are still open for business. So goodbye, everybody, and remember, please, for the next day or so, the terrible lesson you learned tonight. That grinning, glowing, globular invader of your living room is an inhabitant of the pumpkin patch, and if your doorbell rings and nobody's there, that was no Martian, it's Halloween. System and its affiliated stations coast to coast has brought you The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells, the 17th in its weekly series of dramatic broadcasts featuring Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater on the air. Next week, we present a dramatization of three famous short stories.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting
System. There you have it, folks. This is T.J. Morris, ET Radio, and I am Teresa J. Thurmond Morris with our UFO Secret Space Talks, our UAP associates, and we share the UFO Association of our members that have worked diligently to correct anything that you may have heard on this Wells Fantasy of October 30th, 1938, for presentation for the next day, which was October 31st. That's right. That was a holiday special, and that was him talking as a member of a group in New York, and it was broadcast on CBS and Columbia Broadcast System. So with the way that we are now in the world, we're on a lockdown on April 5th, 2020. I thought it'd be a good time to present that. Normally my regular time is 7 p.m. and people will be looking for me to show up today, at least weekly on our radio shows on Sunday, because I have Teresa J. Morris Ministries, which access American Communications Online, which has a department for all those veterans, Allied Command Organization, and all the veterans. We started as a way, once we retired, to keep in touch through the American Veterans Association, and I am one, and we have various groups that we meet around the world, and we were going to do this and share how we could get together annually and meet each other, which we did in Ohio County when we started in 2000. We started the Bluegrass events, and we had at the beginning in Ohio County where Bill Monroe Foundation began, and I was a plank owner there. We had a lot of great music from around the world, and a lot of people show up every year, and we had built our own stage, and we had our equipment to record, and we had Dr. Mercer come up and work with the Ohio County Association for the county and the state, and as far as I know, Doc Mercer is still around. I don't know. It's 2020, and during this COVID-19 virus outbreak around the world, I don't know where a lot of people are on the planet. And so as God would have it, I like history and how we put it together and how we put folklore together and Ace Folklife, and how we're going to move forward in our entertainment and communications, and how we can all do our part. And I have this company, American Broadcast. It's American Communications Online as a broadcast company. I have ACIR Radio for American Culture and International Relations, our Allied Command Internet Radio, both. As we build this, which this 2020, hindsight is better than foresight, has sort of stuck me in arrears on paying bills, but I don't know how we're going to get all this done so you can hear me weekly, but hopefully we'll have somebody sponsor us weekly. Starting in May, because April, I don't even know. Maybe something out of my government check, because I'm an American and I'm retired from DOD, DON, driving a commercial truck and delivering for U.S. Treasury and Microsoft. And Bill Gates 5 years ago did a story on TED Talks, and it was very brief, but he did tell us what was going in the future, being a major prophet. However you want to think about it, I'm here alone. I've only got enough food for one, maybe to last me a month if I don't count milk and eggs, because I couldn't even get any eggs here and where I am at in the Mecca of ET land, and Gulf Breeze, and I moved down here to help my daughter die. She had contracted from painting with chemicals, a very terrible type of cancer that can only be acquired, apparently. And now that she's gone, I moved down here after my husband died. So I've lost my spouse, my husband. Then I at first in 2011, before the 2012 episode of 12-21-12, when we thought we'd all be able to stick together and come together and be here as one on the internet and communications and stop all the world wars on this planet. We thought about 12-21-12, we'd all be on the same page, at least talking to each other without both sides being paid for through Wall Street bankers and whomever else up there on the top, or the one percenters we call them these days, or those with the most money on the planet. We used to name people like Rothschild and Rockefeller, but now they name Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos and Warren Buffett. Those types are the top richest people on the planet, but you know, I don't think that's very accurate, because there's so many people in the world, all over in all the countries, that I wonder if we get any correct statistics. So I'm very much a believer that we should try to do our best to find out what information we can share. And I'm open source Creative Commons as far as how I learned. I did go to college to learn how to run a computer and type. I'm a type jockey, but I sure am going to miss that, because nowadays everybody just talks into their phones. And I was one of those opposed to it, I guess, like an old tradition person. But my baby boomers, we were supposed to be the most on the planet as retirees. And now we're being called back in to do service and service to others on the planet. So they're going to still give us our checks, but they'd like our participation from 60 to 80 and 80 to 100. We're going to have 100 to 125 and then 125 to 150, I'm told, by AI and where we're moving into the world with artificial intelligence and how we're going to be able to keep our bodies. And I know Grandpa Morris, which was my husband's grandpa, told him I'd keep the ministry going for him. He lived to be almost 109 years old. His skin gave out. But I told him I'd keep up the ascension and this consciousness. And my husband never really, he always believed in God. Every very God-fearing, you know, American, proud to be Americans. And that song by Greenwood, Proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. That song just really would touch his soul, mine too, actually. And would bring tears. And I like that a cappella group, those boys that sing it now. What are they called? Oh, who are they? I can't remember their name. That's sad. It's like American Born or American Bred, but I'll find them. Anyway, I love all music and no music, because I love my peace. But right now I can hear a plane going overhead. That's the only way I'd know there's anybody outside my home since I'm on lockdown. And I can see the blue sky. My dog's laying here by me. I got enough food for her, me, for months. She didn't like dry food, but, you know, you do what you can with what you got. And I did get her enough wet food for a couple of weeks. But my daughter, I gave her a letter saying that she was going to get my daughter Angela living with me, Angela Dawn Parrish Cook. And she just called me today. She was out with her beau, Dan. He's actually set my age, or older than me, but in today's time, they look well together. He's taken her on, and they live down on the corner. Dan, he runs real estate, and she helps him with all of that in hospitality, public relations, and she works down at Days Inn and for the Patels out of India, and they control the Navarre Conference Center. Their family owns that here in America. But I haven't seen anybody. It's been a couple of days. Stephanie Esther Parrish was my third, but she lives She used to live just about a mile from here. Now she's about 5 miles from here. I haven't really tracked it. Maybe not that far. I could probably walk it if I had to, but who knows, you know. Anyway, we keep in touch now by cell phones, which a lot of people don't like to use, but we seem to have no choice. We're on 5G in this area of the country. And actually, I have mixed emotions about 5G, 6G, 7G, but so does everybody, because it's we're unknowing. We're not sure. We have to take a lot on trust. And just like with that War of the Worlds by Orson Welles, he was just working at a radio company like I am, and he's just telling a story like I am. But this shutdown is due to COVID-19, or so we're told. People have to stay in, or are asked to stay in. And it's not really martial law, or it's not a federal mandate, but president at this time on April 5th, 2020 is President Donald Trump. And he was from New York, and I don't know if he grew up there or not, but it appears that his father had a lot of construction back then. And from what I can see, at least if you take it at just face value, studying documentaries on television, I get what I get from that communication. And I grew up around KNOE, so I learned from the time I was born in Monroe, Louisiana. And Mr. James A. No, I sat on his lap a few times, and he had a family, and I went to his house for Christmas or parties, dress up in pretty party dresses and shoes, and then I'd be on Happiness Exchange with something Hill, H-I-L-L, I forget his first, maybe Jack Hill, I think. And then I'd go over in television and do K-N-O-E and K. El Dorado, Channel 10, El Dorado, Arkansas, when I was a little girl. So to me, I could see humans, real people on stage going into the cameras, big cameras on wheels with big, thick black wires. We had to walk over and not trip, and bundles of them. But today I'm coming to you from a laptop, an HP Hewlett Packard, and I have an Intel processor, and it's coming across DirecTV, but not direct, cable TV, and it's on Mediacom, because that's all I've got here that I can get. There's a monopoly, from what I can understand. Big companies can only own certain areas, which I don't understand, because I thought in America, you know, AT&T owned all the towers at one time, and AT&T was the biggest conglomerate, or the biggest company, or institute, or whatever you want to call it, corporation. And I thought they were told to sell off some groups. I guess they did. But I followed AT&T and even had a little stock in it at one time. I think I sold it at their request because they wanted to get rid of all the people that didn't own much. And but I never learned to play the stock market at my level of existence in America. Not that it matters now, but hopefully people can learn. There's various levels of life from the top 1%ers down. And, you know, the top 1%ers are going to have a hard time on this planet, because without us doing the work, sooner or later, they're going to run out of stuff. And they may think they can get away with it. But some people think that Bill Gates is a hero, and others think he's a villain. But that's life here on the big planet of Earth. I do my part. Since I've died and come back and been out of body and came back to be a recall human being as a bionic, or a carbon-based unit with others. So those of us that listen to TJMRCT Radio and support it, sometimes I'll do readings, and that's the people that enjoy me the most, not on this paranormal channel, but on the spirituality. Through all this in April. It's only April 5th today, 2020, and this COVID-19 lockdown, I thought it was appropriate to share that story from back in 1938, because I am the director of UAP Associates and UFO Association. Now, I share Alien Contact Organization among alienologists, And those that study all the various types of aliens that are outside these contraptions, or these UFOs, we call them, or USOs, that we call them unidentified flying objects during my lifetime. USOs, unidentified submersible objects during my lifetime. And prior, back in 38, I don't know if they even had flying saucers, but I know that it came to be a popular subject in 1947. And Kenneth Arnold out in Washington as a pilot, seeing some about eight or so skipping across in the news at that time, these ships he saw, and the way that he said they traveled, he had to be going at least 1,500 miles an hour, which they didn't have. At least we didn't think we had them as biologicals and humanoids on this planet. So he recorded that, and someone said, asked him a question in media or news, or a reporter. I'm TJ Morris reporter, but somebody like myself, or representing a newspaper. I don't represent Ohio County more because I've moved to Gulf Breeze, Florida. But ask him, and he said they appeared to be like skipping of a saucer. So it could have been like throwing a rock is the way I've heard it. And I don't have the exact quote from Kenneth Arnold, but you may want to look that up if you're a UFO lore person or into our Ace Folklife Association. But I'm building a community on the other side of COVID-19. So April 5th, 2020. Bother to share the internet or not, but seeing that I'm paying for $40 a spot or so just to have a couple hours, I thought I'd get the use out of my $20 an hour kind of show. And you know, if you want to join and help me keep them alive, it's $20 an hour, and I'd appreciate it. You can send it to tjmorrisagency@gmail.com on PayPal, and all my friends all have a PayPal in the radio business. And we're also doing free or open source Creative Commons YouTubes to let you know we're out there. So this will also go on my YouTube channel. I don't know which one, Teresa J. Morris ACO or TJ Morris ACO ET or TJ Morris ET Radio or ACO Radio or ACIR Radio. But I do syndicate through Spreaker and Stitcher and Blog Talk, and they all go out on iTunes, which maybe Apple now. I don't even know anymore because it takes a lot to know what all is going on these days where you're put out there. But I know I can find it on Google Radio or Google something. So you can Google for me to find out how to get it. I don't know what I should name this. TJ Morrissey 2 Radio shares Wells Fantasy of October 30th, 1938. But I think I'm going to change that to, because we know it's TJ Morris E2 Radio. Let me see. I'm going to change that. What can we call this, though? I don't know. I've got to have a title. It won't let me change it. Let's see. Wells Fantasy. I'm going to put Wells Fantasy. And COVID. 19. I'm sorry, maybe I should call it War of the TJ Morrissey Shares. Something, I don't know. Let me put, I don't know, folks. You know, I heard him say, ladies and gentlemen, and that sounds real proper, and I'm sure we should do that. And I heard him talk about God, and I heard him talk about the Department of Interior. I didn't hear him mention the president, but, you know, nowadays, if I want to know something, I want the president to tell me himself, because he calls a lot of these stations fake news. And I was wanting to find out what's going on in the world, so I'd turn on the TV and let me get this book. I wrote down, I skimmed through this Mediacom that's outrageously expensive. Like, I'm being told I get the best package. And it's outrageous. People can't afford this, but I had to pay about $170 a month and to get the best package with a home phone, which is 10, internet would normally be like $29.99, but you can't get on it's like $70 to get the channels, and I have to pay for things. But most of us that travel in middle class these days, I think I'm lower middle class because I make under $30,000. But, you know, what I saw, looking to see what the president said from different ways or different, who would really be loyal Americans and cover in the United States of America what we're going through, there was CBS, CNN, Fox, MSNBC. So one, two, three, four were the only four I could flip through. And I've got up to 800 and almost 900 channels, and only four here from where I sit in Gulf Breeze, the mecca of ET world, between eight military bases, I'm told. And this is where they picked me up, whether I was alive or not. I'm still here, so I must have been. But, you know, we don't believe in miracles anymore. We should, because things happen we can't explain. And the supernatural, there's an evangelist on Sundays, and I understand that President Trump, who won't be listening to me, but he will be, well, he may, who knows. If I put War of the World and War of the Germs, maybe. Let's see. But you know what? Being American and is very important, and being made in the USA. But, you know, we love the entire planet. And we're about global war. But global wellness and war. War of the words market. On TJ, let's see, global wellness. People don't want to know about that, do they? Global wellness war. How do you come up with something that might catch people's COVID-19 is what we're talking about. But, you know, I heard different stories already on that. And in the beginning, it was out of Wuhan, China. But they, from what I heard immediately when I found out about it, in last month sometime, it had been around for 3 months and they weren't even having any outbreaks now. They pretty much cleaned it up in the news and with China's, but China got upset because we were calling it the China virus. So as an American, I apologize for that. But we don't know if Bill Gates knew who made the cure or if they were working on the cure or not. All we know is that he told us about this war on germs, global wellness, war on germs, global wellness, war on germs, global, I don't know, folks, I'm only human, I never liked being said I had a good imagination, as you can tell. Global wellness, war on germs, I wonder if war on humanoid, war of humanoid. Humanoid germs. How's that? Let's say War of the Worlds. That sounds good. War of Global. Well, no, that's not going to track. See, the thing is, I'm not big on trying to use my imagination, as you can tell. War of World, global society, war of world on global. We're global citizens. War of world on global intelligence. Global citizens. How do we share Sundays? But you know, that's we can do prayer sending and meditation is receiving. War of World on Global Citizens. Radio. ET. What? Radio ET. ET Radio. How's that? War of Worlds. My Global Citizens, ET Future on Earth. Well, I don't know how good this is going to do, but you know, we can talk about we are all in this together. How to stay motivated, right? How to stay motivated while world leaders, UFO secret space, I'm already doing that, while world leaders decide how to keep balance of food, clothing, shelter. All right. What do y'all think? Food, clothing, shelter. We've got to keep active, so we have to have as water. I can't even see good. I need new glasses. Well, I'm just a human with past life history and out-of-body experience, near-death experience. And there's a lot of people like me, and we want to stick together, but it changed my name right back to TJ Morrissey T-Shirts Wellness. That is odd. It wouldn't let me change that. Now, that's funny. So what are we going to call this? We can talk about what? Take about our situation on lockdown. We need action and jobs. We get bored. We all are in this. We are all in this together. Is that got to end? I had some decent glasses. Oh, gosh. Let's see. Maybe if I put two of these, I got at the Dollar General. We need better sight. We need to take care of ourselves. We need these pharmaceutical companies to stop ripping us off. I know they invest. But, you know, we should learn how to teach everybody how to have the basics. And then from the basics, how to stay out of trouble. And there was a show I was watching about prisons and how better Australia is doing than we are. And they just think we're terrible the way we treat people over here and other countries. So we've got to get infrastructure and get ourselves how to be better. After World War II, people owed us a lot of money, and we helped a lot of countries get back on their feet. And, you know, we got to put the air mask on ourselves, like when you're in a jet. You know, the mama or daddy will put the mask, it falls down onto their child before they'll put their own on. That's human nature. And so we need to remember human nature and also remember the environment. We need clean air to breathe. We need preferably food that's not tortured to death with chemicals to keep the bugs off. Well, if I need to find something that doesn't kill us, carcinogens. But we're looking at how we can clean up the air as well with non-pollutants and our water and in the air. And these are corporations that we've got to stop buying all this plastic stuff and get to. Have you guys seen those terrible garbage dumps where the currents in the oceans come together and swirl and make these garbage dumps on top of? That's on top. We don't know what else underneath either. But we also got garbage dumps off the planet up in the space. People, the countries, individuals don't put up space junk, okay? So we need to find out who put all this stuff in space by country and get them to start cleaning it up, because we're going to have to take care of this planet in order for it to take care of itself. Let's look at that as a motivation for jobs, infrastructure in the United States of America, rebuilding our roads, putting up fast trains, where we do rail, if we've got railroads already laid by the history, put next to it a fast rail. And the interstates during Eisenhower's administration, you know, we thought we'd always have roads. Well, if we're going to have roads, put the guided cars next to it, supposedly that they're going to run not on fuel. I guess they're going to run, I don't know how they're going to run. There's talk of other ways. We've got Elon Musk and working the electric cars. Of course, I don't think they have enough battery space or have to pull in and recharge or something. But we've got some things that deal with how we communicate. But right now in lockdown, we can see that the internet's become our way of being. Person in space that is us. How to keep balance of food, clothing, shelter, keep and action, because we need to breathe clean air, drink clean water, eat clean food, drink clean water, eat good natural from seeds, food of the earth from Mother Nature. Okay, we need to stay active to live. I'm going to put that in, stay active to live. And we can travel under the oceans to explore. We can travel in space to explore. We can learn of all that humans in the past had on planet Earth as artifacts. We can work together, folks, and have faith. Believe in God. Believe in humanity and the Creator. This is just too good for any human, anything that's just human only to perfect. And, this is a time to be together. So this is a time to come together and pray. This is a time to come together. I'm going to put that in here, okay? I don't feel very smart these days. This is a learning planet. It is a learning. I do know that, because I wouldn't keep coming back here. Okay, God bless America, American soil in the USA, and then God bless the entire planet. the entire planet human race. World peace, right? God bless the... God bless Earth. Earth. Like the universe. And all living things. Okay. And I don't know much, but I'll share. But I do know I have the will to live. Okay, I'm going to put that in here. Can you hear me typing? I do have the will to live. Let's see. To live. So check in once in a fall and join my ACO club. Let's see. Andar. Let's see. Our UAP on Patreon.com. My name is Teresa, and I'm alone. I am alone. There. Let's see what happens with that. Oh. All right. Says we still got 10 minutes, but I'm going to go ahead and, yeah, that's me. Fine. TJ Mars Agency. Let's see if it let me in. Half the time I can't get into Facebook. Dang it. TJ Thurman Morris, TJ Morris Agency. Well, what does it want? I never know what password it wants. They've been changing up everywhere because update password. Okay, fine. You entered an old password. Never mind. You're just not going to get put on Facebook. Okay, let's see if Twitter will let me put on Twitter. Log in and tweet. TJ Morris Agency. No, won't let me. Man, what are they doing to these computers all the time, you know? So I told you what I've got. Posted Tumblr. Let's see if Tumblr will let me. Sign in. What is Tumblr? I know what Tumblr is. Email. Director at UAP Associates. Next. Never mind. Okay. Well, whatever. It'll take me 10 minutes to get this out to you folks. So just look it up on Spreaker, Stitcher, Spotify, or we syndicate all over the world and pay extra money for that. Why is Skype on? Am I on Skype right now? Huh, no. All right. Well, folks, if I didn't get to you today, maybe next Sunday we can do some helping you guys out. But, you know, it's try to stay positive, because even for me, it's when you're alone, you can get depressed, and you need people. So we'll do our best to be happy. And usually I'm pretty happy, unless I'm having trouble with my internet. So let's hope we keep the internet. And I'm an advocate of cyberspace and the internet and communication, entertainment, radio, and helping people out and service to others. So if you want to be my friend, please join my club and Facebook and Patreon.com. It's only $1 a month for a vote. And then I get to do some polls and find out what teams want to get together. And we'll be using Teams in the future. And many of my people work with the Ascension team about Ascension, and others with UFOs, and others with alienology, what we're creating there, cryptology. Even have some monsters and Fortean people, Charles Fort people. And I've been asked if I want to put in the Edgar Casey group here, because there isn't one down here. So let me know if you're interested in helping me in Gulf Breeze, Florida, in the Panhandle. And we'll get the Edgar Casey group going down here. I think our closest is Fort Walton. Anyway, finally, in March, my daughter moved out, and Dustin moved out March 30th. So that's good for me in ways that before all this happened, it's just hard to feed yourself on what I make. So I need extra money to help other people or get their word out. So get your own word out on GoDaddy if you can. I don't know that I'm going to keep paying GoDaddy as much money as is required when you can go Now, I've got my own company, but we switched it over to ACIR Radio, and it's for 20 a month to run a C-panel so I could train Mad. But Mad got real busy having to make money and paint his house and stuff. And then if he had any free time, he was just running Revolution Radio, the one we did with Mike Ringley. But Mike's passed now, so there's no need for me to stay with that. And that team, he likes that team of people that he started with years and years ago. And that's fine. And Janet's got her little group with Aquarian Radio. And Tommy Hawksblood has his little group, ACO Club. But he says he'll stay with me no matter what. He's pretty good. Tony R. Elliott, Texas. So whoever you are out there, thank you for listening. And if you want to join my Allied Command, if you're a veteran, appreciate it. And we'll be working with people that want to work on their UFO stories or their alienology stories or crypto stories. Or I've got UAP now, Universal Association, or Universal Angels, or Universal Ascension People, or Universal Ascension Process. We've got all kind of acronyms out there. So personally, I'm in a standalone unit. I have my own computers. I have 3 laptops, 3 phones, and we use those, ones for profit, ones for nonprofit, and ones for me personally. So I have my own personal line, my office line, and my charity line, basically. So, and I'm asking other people to help me if you can. And let's get a good team going here. And we'll do some videos. So get in Patreon. That's where we're going to do videos. If you're in there, you can be with me in video when I get my act together here. But happy Easter, everybody. Palm Sunday. And then next Sunday is Easter in the year 2020. It only comes around once, folks, so enjoy it. 9-9. Today is 4-5-2-0-2-0. That's a 9, and 2 is 11, and 2 is 13, and 1-3 is a 4. So that's a 4 number. And we'll keep sharing our Ascension and the Invisible College and the Awakening team of Awakening Awareness, and how the 3 A's go together. Ascension, Awakening Awareness is where we are now. In this time and dispensation, we call this the Ascension Age, the Golden Age of Cosmology. And my books are available as Teresa J. Morris or T.J. Thurman Morris, Teresa J. Morris on Blog Talk Radio and T.J. Morris Publishing on Lulu.com. And I'll try to get back to doing e-books, self-help books, spirituality, and we have spiritual science. So read my Knowing Cosmology, Ascension Age, if you will. That'll help you a lot if you're young and not sure of what's going on in the world. And I have a lot of friends out there in the radio business and author business, and we're bringing them together, and we write books, and we do radio shows, and now we're going into our own YouTube broadcasting everywhere, including Vimeo. So stay in touch. I know that people have me going to BitChute now, not just YouTube. So I don't know where you're going to see all this. Let's see. TJ Morris ET Radio is the key word. Teresa J. Thurman Morris. Teresa J. Morris. ACO Radio. ACIR Radio. Cosmos Radio. And then we have this as a Howard Koch script. Orson Welles, War of the Worlds. And I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you'll come back next Sunday and see what we have planned, because I have no clue. I'll be part of my team and make some video shows. Give me a call. Oh, Maine MUFON, I got your message. I'll be giving you a call, and we'll set up some MUFON meeting or Maine MUFON UFO with our UAP groups. And Dr. Bruce Cornett in El Paso, Texas, Dr. Ken Johnston in Albuquerque, New Mexico, Tony R. Elliott over on the East Louisiana coast, handling that area for me, the Gulf Coast, John Teneuka, Brett Luter, and Barbara Jean Lindsay in California. They all three have a spot in my heart for ACO Club. And I talked to Brett Luter for an hour and a half or so yesterday. So Brett's doing all he can to get internet back up, and we'll get him a show going, and then he can syndicate under his House of Luter, I believe is the one we're going to use, on his own domain. But if you don't have your own brand and domain name, I can help you. I'm a web developer. And if you guys want me to help you, we can give you a discount on prices. If I get some people If I get some people interested in me helping them keep their, you know, where they don't have to toot their own horns, I'll help you guys out there. Keep your business and the web presence going, okay? All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed the show. And love and light, everybody. We are in the Ascension Age, and we keep the Christ consciousness alive among Christians and those that aren't, that are Universal Life Associates or Universal. In Modesto, California, I'm a Universal Life, Universal Minister out of Modesto, California. So love and light, everybody, and look for our future journals. And Ahmad has made us the Allied Command Organization. I believe it's going to be every 6 months, which is biannual. So look for it on Allied Command Organization by Thomas R. Becker on Kindle, please. And Allied Command Organization, if you want to be in it. We're all about cleaning up space and the environment, space junk, and keeping up history and science, technology, engineering, and math, and art, culture, education, folk life, and, of course, radio shows, the podcast. Okay, it says I got 10 seconds, so I better sign out, okay? Thank you.